First, I offer my unlimited obeisances in the dust and below the feet of my most worthy guru. This is the day. Nityalila Pravishta Om Vishnupad Astota Satsri Shimai Shila Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada. And the same unlimited obeisances in the dust of the lotus feet of my most worshipable Shikshi Gurudeva, Om Vishnupad Astota Satsri Shimai Shila Bhakti Vedanta Narayan Goswami Maharaj. To all of our Guru Varga and all the assembled devotees. This is a continuation of the course study on the Gaudiya Gitagut songbook, which is being uploaded to Pure Bhakti TV internet as a course. So we've discussed much of the Mangalacharana prayers. And what did we get up to?
Vashanti.
We discussed Srila Sanatana Goswami.
Yeah, Rupa Goswami.
And Srila Rupa Goswami.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're coming to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There are three prayers. To Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are unlimited. But three means that I develop a taste for regularly praying to him, and then gradually I want to learn more and more so that I can pray in different ways for different things. And the general procedure of praying to anybody for anything is that first you want to make them feel good about giving you something that you want. So first you praise them and you say what qualities they have, which are the qualities that you want, and then you ask them for it. So that's how it is with all these prayers that we're discussing. First, we're glorifying them for some wonderful service they're doing, some wonderful transcendental nature that they have, and then we ask them if they would bestow that same nature upon us. So, anarpita chiring chidat kurunayavatinam kalo samarpaitam unatajvarasam svabhakti shriyam Hari Purata Sundara Duty Kadamba Sandi Pita Sadarida Sundare Spiritavasa Jinandana. All day long, all evening long, all morning long, the mind is going on with so many various desires. I'm hungry, I'm thirsty, I'm hot, I'm too cold, I'm too tired, I'm too nervous, I need relief. I need praise, I need something good to eat, I need a new house. Always the desires are just going on like the uncontrollable waves of the river. So by uttering these prayers, our desires begin to change. And we start desiring according to the desires of the authors of the prayers. And we simultaneously pray to the authors that to hasten that process. So here our desire. First we glorify Mahaprabhu that he came to give what no other incarnation or acharya gave since the last time he came to this world, which was quite a long time ago, trillions of years ago, in the previous day of Brahma. And he came to give First he came to taste the love of Srimati Radhika and to give the love of the maidservant of Srimati Radhika. So he's blessing, this is actually a blessing. And we're taking that blessing. He's blessing those who are connecting with the prayer. May that Lord, known as the son of Srimati Sachi Devi,
be transcendentally situated in the innermost chambers of your heart. So then we put a PS that, yes, please become situated. For the author of this prayer is Srila Rupa Goswami. So we ask him to give us the blessings and to pray to Mahaprabhu. He'll give us those blessings. Now, in order to really convince myself that I need those blessings and that I'm not okay where I am, there's the next prayer. Sangsara dukkha jalado patikasya kama krodha hina kramakaraika valikritasya durvasana nigaditasya nirashrayasya Chaitanya Chandra Mama Dehi Padavalambam. O Chaitanya Chandra, please give me the dust of your lotus feet. Why? Because I'm underneath the ocean of birth and death, captured in a net of material existence, eaten alive by the crocodiles and alligators of lust, anger, greed, pride, illusion, and envy, with my hands tied behind my back with chains of wicked desires. No way to get out unless you give me the shelter of your lotus feet. We were just reading the other day that Gurudev said that it was the song. It was the glorification of Harinam. Mm-hmm. That the holy name gives shelter to one who even once, and even not totally purely, chants the holy name in a mood of feeling destitute, wretched, and insignificant. So these prayers help change our mind frame. They have that potency, like mind control. Then, what do I want? Chaitanya Chandra Mamahe Kamadavikasya Hridyam Videhi Nija Chintana Bringarangai Kincha Parada Timiram Vibhavam Yuduya Padam ritam sadaya payaya durgatamam. What do I want? My heart is like a lotus. I want that lotus flower to bloom, because a flower that blooms has a lot of fragrance. And I want that there to be so much fragrance that it captivates the bumblebee of remembering to you. Very poetic. So first, please destroy the dense darkness in my heart. And then, I'm so miserable, please make me drink the nectar of your lotus feet. So, we have a tendency that I'm too low to pray. I'm so bad, I'm so fallen, that what's the use of praying? But our acharyas teach us that that's not a good qualification, but rather it's a qualification. If I actually think like that and I can take refuge or solace in the fact that our acharyas are teaching that Krishna likes that when you feel like that, but you want everything. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur prayed in his song Gopinath. So what is it? It's what you do, that just because a person doesn't think about you and they're not interested in you, that you're not going to show them mercy? So our acharyas are teaching us not to use that as an excuse to not ask for the highest everything. Then we realize that, well, if I want Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, Then I have to get Lord Nityananda Prabhu's mercy. So the next two prayers are to Lord Nityananda. Everything is arranged in perfect order. Sankarsana karana toyashai
gavo dashai chapado dashai sesha shayasyam sukhalasa nitya nandakya rama sharanam namastu.
And how qualified, how powerful is Nityananda that he can do the impossible? If he can expand himself into so many forms, like Mahavishnu, and breathe in and out universes. If he can expand as Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, and have Brahma, the creator of the whole universe, coming out of his navel. If he can expand as Kiradakshaya Vishnu in every single heart and every single atom, at the same time lying on the ocean of milk, surely he can change one creepy, crawly person like myself. And therefore, Nandakya Rama Sharanam Namastu, therefore I take your shelter. Am I really taking shelter? Not myself. So why do I say it? Gurudev explained that when a young man and lady are getting married, in the marriage ceremony, they vow, oh, I will never leave you, I'll serve you forever. Oh, I will protect you and care for you forever throughout this life. So they just say it once, but it lasts through the life, at least theoretically, and in many cases. So Gurudev said, if we say it so many times, then how much effect it will be, especially if we take shelter of the persons who are closer to us than the object of the prayer. Like in this case, Nityananda Prabhu is the object of the prayer. And closer to us is Swarup Damodar, and still closer is the disciplic succession coming down to our present day Guru. Then we can have that changed mood of who I am. And it has its effect. This is called sanskar. Sanskar means you create impression by keeping on doing something. Like you have a rock, a big boulder, and you take your rope and you go back and forth and back and forth and nothing's happening, nothing's happening, nothing's happening. And then gradually something happens. So it's done, or as Gurudev says, karte, karte, karte. You just keep going and going. And then gradually it has its effect and changes my sense of I. I tell this a lot, but it's appropriate that when we were all in, get the name of that city, the Gurudev in England, starts with a K. Gurudev came back from a morning
Kent.
Walk.
Huh?
Kent. Kent, yeah.
Kent's a county.
Huh?
Kent's a whole area.
Oh. So, yeah, somewhere there. So Gurudev came in and sat down on the couch and at a festival like this. And he said, if you simply chant Hare Krishna, and then we expected, yeah, what happens? And he said, you'll be filled with all material desires. So what do you do? So what? So you sing the bhajan and that changes your desires. Like this is all those new age positive thinking is all a perverted reflection of this, who I really am. I'm really a destitute, insignificant, wretched, but servant of Nityananda, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then there are other prayers that go even more and say, I am, I consider myself as a Palyadasi of Radhika, and anybody else who's against her, then I don't want to see them, no matter what their ways or who they are. Or when will I take my birth in Vrishabhanupur and then have my marriage in Yavat? So longing for that real identity of me. And then I can chant Hare Krishna, remembering this. It was once Chaturmasya time, Kartik, within Chaturmasya. And Gurudev said, why do we observe Chaturmasya for 4 months? So that you'll like it and want to do austerities for the other months. So why do we chant the prayers in the morning and evening? So we'll like it and want to sing it all the time. And then bring that into our chanting. And the second prayer to Nityananda.
Nityananda namastubhyam premananda pradayine kalo kalmasanashaya janavapataye namaha.
And because as Prabhupada said, ladies are more soft-hearted and kind-hearted than men. So I address Nityananda Prabhu, and therefore he said, so Radharani is Krishna's compassionate counterpart. So now I'm praying to Nityananda Prabhu as the master of Janava Devi, meaning I'm giving connection with her, meaning I'm remembering with her, meaning I'm praying for her mercy, who's his power, who eliminates the filth in the age of Kali, and who is the master of Janavi Devi. And then these prayers are very similar, so I'll utter one of them. Pulandi varakantimindu varanam varaha vatsamstapiyam Shivatsam kamudara kosta vadaram pitam varasundaram Gopinam nayanopalapitatanam gogopasangavitam Govindam kalavenu varanaparam divyangabhusham bhaje. I worship Govinda, whose complexion is the color, because Krishna says in the Gita, from whatever and wherever your mind may wander, due to its flickering and unsteady nature, you must bring it back under the control of the self. So this so much helps with that. What do I do? Who am I? I worship Govinda. So I'm getting the sun scars. I worship Govinda, whose complexion is the color of a blossoming blue lotus flower, whose face is like the moon. So this is a mantra. All the verses in Bhagavatam are mantra, especially Gayatri is mantra, Hare Krishna mantra is mantra, and these are mantras. And the mantra is non-different from the deity of the mantra. So the deity is present, and all of the descriptions of the deity that's in the mantra are also present. If the place is given, then that's also present. This is the nature of absolute. And therefore, one devotee was wanting Gurudev to say something because she was feeling so much stress. So Gurudev was just about to leave that place, that festival, and he said to her and those around her, don't worry about anything. Just chant Hare Krishna, close your eyes, and you'll realize that all of this is a swapna. It's just a dream. Then you open your eyes and you wake up in Goloka Vrindavan. So what's the use of worrying about anything when the reality isn't even outside the mantra? The reality is in the mantra. So whose complexion is the color of a blossoming blue lotus flower, whose face is like the moon, who is fond of wearing a peacock feather on his crown, whose chest bears the mark of a Srivats and is adorned with the Kostuma gem, who is attired in beautiful yellow garments, whose handsome form the gopis worship with sidelong glances. It's all actually there. So I can put a P.S., Gurudev said that. Because he said when you chant prayers like this, that I already do something, or I already have something, it's a little pinching because I'm not really like that. I don't have it and I don't do real worship of that Govinda with my heart. So then I add a P.S. that when will that come? Whose handsome form the gopis worship with sidelong glances, whose companions are multitudes of cows and gopis, who play sweet melodies on his flute and whose body is decorated with glittering ornaments. Then more to Krishna. And we remember different prayers to remember Krishna in different ways, and they all include different pastimes. And many of them give different varieties and subtleties of prayers. Namo nalina metraya linuradya vinodine radhara sudapana shaline vanamani. I offer pranam to he whose eyes are like lotus flowers, who merrily plays the flute, who is expert in drinking the nectar of Radhika's lips, and who is adorned with a garland of forest flowers. Krishnaya Vasudevaya Haraye Paramatmane Pranatiklesha Nashaya Govindaya. He destroys all the devotees' miseries. So I should just come closer to paying attention and in a prayerful mood. I was just hearing on a MP3 yesterday, iPod yesterday, Gurudev was saying in Oakland about 9 years ago that you have so many problems, so many people are attacking you, so many situations are attacking you. Why? Because you've disconnected yourself, or you haven't connected yourself with Guru. Just get closer with him, connect yourself with him, take shelter with him, and nothing will be able to touch you. No bad thing can touch you. Prabhupada gave the analogy like a little boy is walking with his big father, and there's a dog barking, and he could attack. And the boy is thinking, nobody can touch my body, my father is here. So we're supposed to get light bulbs going off as we chant. Time and time again, I offer pranam to Sri Krishna, who is the son of Vasudeva. Then I can remember, as much time as I take to say the prayer, because the mind is so expansive, the eyes are so expansive, I can fit the whole sky in my eyes. Right now, I have clouds, buildings, trees, everything in these little teeny eyes. And similarly, this mind can encompass so much at one little time. So therefore, it's a race against time. As I'm saying the prayers, I have as much time as it takes to say the prayer to remember as much as I can about every description, phrase, or word of the prayer. Now we come to Radhika. Because we can't do Krishna's mercy without Radhika's mercy. And we try for Krishna's mercy so that we can attain the service of Radhika, because that's really what we want from Krishna. So once Gurudev was in Vrindavan, in Rup Sanatan Gaudiya Mutt, when he used to live there, on the ground floor, and in the morning he was circumambulating Thakurji, going all around the altar and uttering something. And when he came back into his room, I asked him, what were you saying? And he said that, this. Amala kamala kanti milavastram sukeshim shashadaya samavatram kanjanakshim manogyam. I take shelter, and then Gurudev translated it. I take shelter of Srimati Radhika, whose complexion is like that of a spotless lotus flower, who is attired in blue cloth, whose hair is very beautiful, whose face is like a full moon, and whose charming restless eyes are like Kanjarita birds, wagtails, upon whose breast rests a radiant pearl necklace, who is eternally youthful and who is the dearmost lover of the son of Nanda. This translation is quite closed. Gurudev was explaining that her complexion is like that of a spotless lotus flower. All other lotus flowers have spots on them, but she's Amala. She's spotless lotus flower, completely perfect. And all the most beautiful things in this world, lotus flowers or anything else, are just perverted reflections. Dim shadow, perverted reflections of her complexion. Who is attired in blue cloth. She won't wear any other colored cloth because she always and only wants to be touched by Krishna. So anything in relation to Krishna, she's thinking, I'm being covered and surrounded by Krishna. That's why she has blue eyes, because she's always thinking of Krishna, so her eyes became blue. Her hair is black because the thoughts in her head of Krishna came out, blackish Krishna came out black. That's why when she's in Mon, she wants to cover her hair and everybody else's hair with white flowers so she doesn't have to see the black. It makes her angry. Because it makes her know that Krishna is there and she's mad at him. So, she always wants to be covered in blue cloth, and when Lalita and Vishakha and the other Sakis come to see them in the morning, they're just dressed actually in each other's color. Her hair is very beautiful. Gurudev said, her hair is very beautiful. It was decorated by Krishna himself. And then that same hair turns around like a snake to bite Krishna and make him faint. Whose face is like a full moon, whose charming restless eyes are like Kancharita birds. Charming restless eyes means those charming restless eyes charm Krishna, and they're also charmed. That's why they're restless, because they're always looking for him. And also, they're restless like that to attract him. Upon whose breast rests a radiant pearl necklace. And there's so many necklace pastimes. And our acharyas pray for the service of putting on the necklace on her. And also they remind her of many necklace pastimes. For example, after the sun god worship pastime, Radharani goes back to her home and Krishna goes back to play with the cattle boys. But Radharani doesn't want to go. She wants to keep getting more looks at Krishna because she can't live a second without seeing him. We can't imagine that. I can't live a second without air. And I can't live a day without, a few days without food. But she can't live a second without seeing Krishna, and we can't imagine that, how it's unbearably painful. So she has this pearl necklace, and she, Gurudev went like that. She clicks it and breaks it. So the necklaces fall all over the place. And then she goes down and tries to pick them up just so she could keep looking. And then her friends tell her, too small, forget about it. She says, no, they're quite big actually, easy to find. And sometimes when she wears a pearl necklace, she might feel shy, because the relatives are around, superiors are around. So she'll just look down at the pearls and get the reflection of Krishna there. So many pearl necklace pastimes that we can race against time to remember. And then that kind of frees us from the fear that we're losing time and I'm coming to death. Who is eternally youthful and who is the dearmost lover of the son of Nanda Maharaj. And ashrayeham, I take shelter. So I'm putting that in, that impression. And getting Sukritis. We don't want Sukritis ultimately, we want bhakti. But we begin where we can. And then we continue. I was just hearing, I hadn't heard this in all the 15 years that I've been with Gurudev, just until the other day. It was an old darshan, but I hadn't heard it until the other day. the devotee was asking that the mind, Krishna says the mind, Arjuna says the mind is just like the wind. It's harder to control the mind than it is to control the wind. It's like, suppose a big wind is coming and I go, to try to stop it. It's more hard, that's impossible, but it's more hard to control the mind. He said, so what do? When you're trying to chant and remember all these prayers, Gurudev said, chant loudly, and then it'll block out other thoughts. And Prabhupada used to always say that too. So, throughout the day, no matter what we're doing, once we learn the prayer, we can sing it and remember the meaning. But that takes a lot of time. And we can even keep the book. I asked Gurudev if I could keep a book of prayers on my lap while I'm chanting. Not to look at while I chant, but to look at and then chant, and chant for a while, and to look at and then chant as a crutch, because the spontaneous flow of remembrance, it doesn't come. He said, yes, you can do that until you get mercy. Which means it shows you don't have any mercy yet. So bhajami radham aravinda netram smarami radham madurasmitasya bhajami radham karunabharadram tato mahanyasti gati nakapi. I worship Radha whose lotus eyes, has lotus eyes. I remember Radha who has a sweet smile. And I speak of Radha who is melted with compassion. And there are so many pastimes where she had a sweet smile. Like when she's with Krishna in the Kund and she leaves him there and she's smilingly sitting with the Sakis and knowing that she left him there alone, and then he comes out and feels all alone, bereft. But meanwhile, she's been making a program for him. And then when he comes out, all the Sakis start dancing and have a whole program for him. There's so many sweet, and she's sweetly smiling when she has Krishna under her control. So we can remember any pastimes that we've heard from our Guru Varga. It's not natural, just like it's not natural, it seems, for a little baby to walk, because the mother's trying to pull the baby up. Oh, you're walking. Then as soon as you let go, plop. But then, because really and truly, walking is natural for a human being, he comes to the right stage by the constant practice. Whereas a horse, it's not natural. So maybe in the circus for a second, a horse can stand, but that's about it. But for a person, it's natural, Prabhupada explains in the next row of devotion. And therefore, by practice, it will be come out to its own natural state by mercy. Not by the endeavor, but the endeavor has to be there and the mercy has to be there. One without the other doesn't happen. Krishna is not going to bestow his mercy unless he knows we want it. And so we have to show that we want it by the endeavor, but the endeavor doesn't do it. But we're showing, look, I want it, can you please give some mercy? Combination of the cat and the monkey. And then Gurudev says, this is the topmost sadhana prayer coming up now. Ha devika kubala gagara yajya vacha yache nipaccha buvidanda varudvacati asya prasharam abudasya janasya kritva gandhar viketa vagane gananam videhi. He said, ultimately, if we want the mercy, we have to be weeping. I told Gurudev once that my rounds, my chanting is so sloppy because I have so many important services that I'm always engaged in for you. I thought, yes, you are, so it's okay, no problem. Just automatically the chanting is going to become, you're going to weep, automatically. The chanting will reveal itself just by what you're doing for me. But instead he said, no, don't be like that. You have to take the time out to chant and to weep just like me. And then, you know, he was sitting next to his, all of the books that he's writing, his manuscript with his handwriting. And he said, just like me. And then he shows on the the counters and pulling the third of the fourth of the 64. So, O Devi Gandharvike, in utter desperation, we don't feel it, but we pray to the author, to our Diksha Guru, to our Shiksha Guru, and up to the Sivak succession. That's why we have the other prayers first, so that they'll come along with us and give us their mercy to pray to the next one up, to the next one up. In utter desperation, and then it's so pinching because there's no utter desperation, but I keep going. In utter desperation, I throw myself on the ground like a stick, and with a choked voice, humbly implore you to please be merciful to this fool and count me as one of your own. No problem, you can put me at the bottom of the list of the dasis of the dasi of the dasi. That's what I want. And the anugatya. So we'll end here for today and ask if there's any questions or comments, and then we'll continue with the next verse.
One question, where does that name Gandharvike come from? Do you know?
Gandharvike, no. Do you know? I don't know. It's always connected with Gandharvika Girihari, but I don't know what the meaning is. I'll try to look it up in folio. Any other questions? Hare Krishna.
Connected with singing.
What?
I was singing beautifully.
I'm sorry?
Gandharvas sing beautifully.
That's right.
So Gandharvi was
the best of the beautiful singers.
That's a general.
Uh-huh, yeah, that's a good general, a good start.
Hmm.
Any other comments or questions? Or okay, go up, Raymond. 1 minute, 3 minutes.